a little safer perhaps. Looking at the number of people we have here, I had a feeling we have more online than we do in the classroom this morning. So I'm not surprised too much at that. A couple of apologies. Last week, we had some sound issues. If you watched, Shirley watched the YouTube version, first 10 minutes or so, there was no volume on that. And then when it did, several that used the listening devices told me it was very choppy. So I got this mic up here today, so maybe we'll overcome that. If I go back to the wireless mic, we will try to adjust some things on that, so maybe it'll be better there. Appreciate Norm putting the Genesis chapter 1 on the daily Bible reading. Hope you follow along with that. Wednesday night will be in Genesis chapter 2. So as we begin this morning, I'd like to call your attention to the slides. Steve asked me why I put that one in there. But in the beginning, God created. So I mentioned last time, I want you to think about that phrase, those first five words from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 this week. Give it some thought. So we want to spend some time this morning analyzing those five words, when, in the beginning, and who, God, who is God, and what did God do? So let's look at each of those and spend some time on them for a few minutes this morning. In the beginning of what? When is in the beginning? Well, in the beginning of time as we know it. Before this time, there was nothing to mark time. So in the beginning of time, as man recognizes time. I have several quotes, and in my earlier days, I was not very good at keeping where I got the quote from, so I don't know where some of these come from. But this one says, it must necessarily mean the commencement or the beginning of time which followed God's creative acts. Just as an effect follows a cause. God caused a beginning. That beginning was the beginning of time. There's nothing in that little phrase I took out. I just did it for easier reading there. But in the beginning when? In the beginning of time as we know it. Before we look at God, capital G, I'd like to think just for a few minutes about just the phrase God, God in general, a God, if you will. And you're going to find my slides, think about more detail in them. I don't do with three slides like Steve does the whole sermon. And I got into that several years ago when I had Brittany in class. And so I put more detail on the slides for her benefit. So that's why you'll see these. But what is a God? A God is a supernatural being, or thought to be a supernatural being, who is worshipped as controlling some part of the universe, or some aspect of lives. And we think about, in ancient times, the sun god that was worshipped, the river, particularly in Egypt, the Nile, as it overflowed and provided for their crops. So there was some supernatural being behind this that controls some part of the universe of their life. What we're much more familiar with, of course, particularly through the Old Testament time, is to think about a god as an image, an idol, a symbolic being of some deity, quote, that they're thinking about. So get these things in mind as you think about what a god is. Okay. It could also be a person or a thing to which we give excess attention. Third said, money is his God, or sports is his God, or his work is his God. The thing that you give the excess attention and let control your life from that standpoint. And then it could also, sometimes you hear man referred to as God. Man, he acts like a God. It's because of either his superior characteristics or what he thinks is his superior characteristics. So some of those definitions there would get us thinking about what a God in general is. But now let's specifically talk about who is God. If you read, in the beginning, God. Well, who's God? Just read those first four words. In the beginning, God. Who is God? There is no introduction. The existence of God is just taken for granted as the beginning of the Bible opens. There's no argument. There's no proof. There's anything given as an introduction to who God is. In the beginning, God. So who is God? Who is God? The same point says that yet he who believes or disbelieves the truth that there is a God is devoid of understanding. Psalms 14:1, familiar verse, says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So who is God? The theistic conclusion. What does theism mean? What is the view that all limited or finite beings have some supreme being that they all answer to or responsible to? Theism. So the conclusion of people, and that generally concludes all the Judaism, Christianity, Islam type faiths that look up to God. So the theistic conclusion is that there's sufficient reason, notice that word, sufficient reason to believe that God exists. Now, what are those reasons? We'll get there in just a minute. Part of that reason is the same thing we've already mentioned, the cause effect. If there must be a first cause, what caused the existence of time? What caused the existence of creation? This we'll get to here in a minute. What happened to all this? If you don't believe that God spoke it into existence, then it came from a big bang or from one cell, well, where'd that come from? So you just dive back into all that. We won't get into all the evolutionary theories this morning, but there is sufficient reason to believe that God does exist. The Catholic Church, and I've got where I got this quote, the Catholic Church affirms that God's existence can be known with certainty from the created world, the natural world. Natural human reasoning can tell us that. So that's their conclusion about God. Let's let God tell us a little bit about himself. Exodus 34, starting at verse 5. Now the Lord, and if you've got text that does this, like the old King James and American Standard, some others, you'll have the Lord there as all caps, referring to Jehovah God. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, as with Moses, this is giving them the Ten Commandments. And there proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities and transgressions and sins. God himself giving us some of his characteristics, such as abounding in goodness and mercy. That's God. Okay? Gracious, long-suffering, merciful, and keeping mercy and forgiving sins and iniquities. God himself giving us some of his characteristics there. This word, Elohim, and I'm not a scholar on these type things, is rendered as God in the King James Version, God being the creator, 32 times in Genesis chapter 1, 2,600 times in the Bible. And the phrase El, I understand, means the Almighty God, as in the creator. So El, as in Elohim, is all the power, the strength, the omnipotence, the power. El is the God who knows all, who sees all, performs all the things for his people. This is God. This is the God in the beginning, God. This is the God. Adam Clark, in his commentary, says eternal, independent, and self-existent being, the being whose purpose and actions spring from himself, without foreign motive or influence, he who is absolute in dominion, the most pure, the most simple, the most spiritual of all essences, infinitely benevolent, beneficent, true and holy, the cause of all being, the upholder of all things. And he goes on with a number of other characteristics for God. Then he says this, reader, such is the God of the Bible. But how widely different from the God of most human creeds. God, Elohim. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, again, God speaking. I am the Lord. The American Standard would have Jehovah there. I am Jehovah. That is my name. My glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Getting a picture, I hope you are, of who God is. An email came to me this week that I forwarded out to the Eastsiders list that listed a long list of the names of God. And it's so accidentally came this very week that we were talking about this very thing. And even before that, I already had these slides done. So the next several slides, we'll look at some of the names for God. I don't really care about the name itself per se. I want to look at the characteristic, the description given by that name. So, the great Lord, the strong one, the God of Israel, God Most High, the all-powerful, or the creator, the everlasting God, the God who sees me, the all-sufficient one. This one we're familiar with, Emmanuel, God with us. When Christ came, his name was given that. Jehovah, another one we're more familiar with. I am the one God. The Lord will provide. Take it Jehovah and put in some suffixes with it. Jehovah will provide. The Lord will sanctify. The Lord is my banner. The Lord who heals. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord of armies. Shalom. The Lord of peace. The Lord is there. He's my companion. The Lord is our righteousness. And then another one we're more familiar with a little bit is Yahweh. We hear it mentioned that way. The I am. The all-sufficient. The one who is. God is. In the beginning, God. Who? The God that is. Not was. Is. Always has been. Always will be. That's the God that we're talking about. So in the beginning, God. God created. What does it mean to create? Cause existence were previously to that moment, there was nothing. Something came into existence where before there was nothing there. That's to create. The commencement or the beginning of the existence of a thing coming from a non-entity to an entity. Nothing existed, now it does. Well, the way we used to say it, nice and simple, he made something from nothing. That's what God did when he created. He made something from nothing. So we have our phrase then, in the beginning, God created. I'd like to have had time for your thoughts as you thought about that this week. In the beginning, God created. If you can get past those first five words, You have a problem. I studied with two different people, one young man many years ago. When I asked him, I said, where should we start? Because I didn't know anything about his background that much. Where should we start? He said, kind of sheepishly, well, I guess we ought to start at the beginning. So we went back and we read these very verses and kind of built a overview of the Old Testament so we could go into the Gospels with a little background. Another young man, who actually started out in some of the Gospels, he wanted to sit down and read the Bible from one end to the other with me. I said, that's going to take a long time, but we can do it. Now, he had a claim to have an atheistic background. So we got things in the beginning, God. He said, wait a minute. He didn't believe God. So we had a problem getting started. And we worked and we worked and we worked to get past those first five words. And he knew we'd buy it. Found out, they said, well, would you give it to me? Would you just let me have it for now? And he said, I can show you who God is as we get into it. That's the only way we could proceed. You can't get past the first five words. You have a difficult time dealing with either part of the rest of the scriptures. And God said, how many times in this chapter? And God said, and God said, and God said. God spoke it into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, by the power of his voice. Psalms 33. Verse 6, the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9, he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalms 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you stars of light. Praise you, heaven of heavens, the waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Then from Hebrews 11, verse 3, by faith, the great chapter on faith, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, by the word. But it's also that same word that keeps things in existence and in their order. That same word of God. 2 Peter 3, verse 7. The heavens and the earth, which now are now preserved by the same word, referring to that same word of God that created them, that same word keeps them in existence and keeps them in order today. But one more point. It's that same word, Hebrews 3 and verse 10, that one day will bring it to an end. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. Elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. That same word of God that created them will also be the one that brings them to an end. So now we ask this question. Who was there to creation? We say, well, God was. Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God. And that actually, as I understand that word, is the L-O-M there is a plural word, meaning multiple. We usually think about that being God, God the Father. Verse 2, the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was there. And then what do we get from John chapter 1 in the New Testament? Where it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Of course, verse 14 of that chapter identifies who the Word is. That's that Christ had come to the earth. So, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit were all there. You see the same thing several times in the New Testament. One is at the baptism of Jesus. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit descended like a dove, and the Father spoke from heaven. There are other places there, often represented by a triangle, something like this. It's one of the three different entities in the Godhead. And the Father is not the Spirit, and the Father is not the Son, and vice versa. But they all are referenced as God, as deity, one in their purpose. So now let's talk about the creation a little bit. I don't know what it looked like before God started. Without form, void, darkness on the face of the deep. He doesn't tell us what it looked like. But this is the key. God said. And when God said, things started changing. This chart contains all of the 7 days of creation. Maybe a little difficult for you to read, but you get some idea based on the graphic that's there, perhaps. And we'll go through them in just a minute in a little more detail. But day one, God said there to be light, and he separated the light from the darkness. Day two, he separated the waters from above, from the waters below, created what we call the firmament, or the heavens. Day three, he gathered the seas together, and let dry land appear. The waters he called the seas, the dry land he called the earth. Day four, he created the sun, moon, and stars, the lights, through the day and through the night. Day five, caused the seas to be filled with fish and great sea creatures, and the heavens to be filled with birds, fowl of the air. Day six, he created, I think I left vegetation out back on day three. Day six, he created land animals, cattle, creeping things, beasts, and he created man on day six. It says, and we'll get to it later, God rested on the seventh day. So let's look at those just a little bit more detail, right quick. Days of creation. Day one, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Covered in verses 2 through 5 of Genesis chapter 1. Day 2, the firmament. It just means, the word just means the expanse. But generally think about three heavens. The heavens where the birds fly. The heavens, this outer space to us. And the heaven where God is. Separated the waters above from the waters below. And then I can't go past this point without stopping and talking about this for just a minute. What is said at the end of each day of creation? The evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and morning were the second day. Well, how long is a day? A lot of discussion about that. Lots of it. Me, a day is a day. This what we call 24 hours. A lot of people would argue about that, discuss that in various ways. To give the earth the age that scientists tell us it has of millions or billions of years old, those days couldn't be just days, or there had to be what's called the gap between the days to give time for that to happen. To me, it's a very simple question. How many people believe God created Adam as a baby? I've never talked to anybody that in their mind visualized when God created Adam, creating him as a baby. He was a man. How old? We don't know. But he was a man capable of doing the various tasks of tending the garden and other things that God gave him. But if he can create Adam with age, why not can he create the earth with age? If he wants to look as a million years old, is that any problem? To a being who can say, let there be light, and there was light. Can he not put whatever age on it he wants to? So I don't think the need for the extended days there. Other point that comes in here is, and this comes from James Burton Kaufman, his commentary, and this is a commentary I like, I go to a lot, but I've got a problem here. He said he gives tremendous words of caution. The very basis for calculating days and nights did not appear in the narrative till the fourth day. The sun and moon to rule the make the times of days and seasons and et cetera. Did not appear to the fourth day. So what controlled a day on those first days was his point. See, it certainly did not require 24 hours for God to say, let there be light. Well, I agree with that. So he makes a big argument then about the length of days. And I'll touch on that again just in a minute. Day three, the seas were pulled back, dry land appeared, and plants and vegetation were created. And that's important because we get at the end of the chapter, that's what's given to man to eat and all the animals to eat is vegetation. Nothing is said about eating meat. We won't get to that until we get over to after Noah comes out of the ark, where meat for food is given. Day four, the sun, moon, and stars. I go back to Kaufman, one more point. Kaufman's point is they found day one there was light. What made that light? What had to be the sun? So he puts the creation of the sun back then. Well, what did he do on day four? That's when he organized things. That's when he put the sun in its, and the earth and everything in its, all its proper orbit. That stayed there until now. I don't know what that light was on day one. I don't have to know. God is light. But God said, let there be light. I have faith and confidence it was light, wherever it came from. So then on day five, the fish, the fowls, the fish, the sea creatures to fill the seas, and the birds to fill the air. Day six, the land animals and man. And it's interesting, as we mentioned earlier, who was there. Verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Plural words used there. And then what set man apart? Two things. One is, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Who has dominion in the earth? Man does. Man does. Over everything else God created. And the second point then, God created man in his own image. So exactly what does that mean? God's a spirit. Did he create man as a spirit? No. But he created man with a spirit. Then the other point that I want to get from this verse, and we'll talk about this more next class, is he created them male and female. There's nothing said about binary or X or any of the other things that we're hearing about today. In the chapter, where each day God had looked at what he had created and said it was good, at the end of it, he put it all together and said it was very good. Let's close up with reading from two Psalms. Psalms 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. I consider your heavens the work of your fingers, the sun, moon, the stars which you have ordained. What is it, man, that you are mindful of him? I've got to quit. I'm about to pass out. I got to sit down. I am sorry.
It's almost time for class to be over anyway, but I'm just going to add a couple of comments before we close. Just some things to think about. Coming up in the next few weeks, you know, we will get to more stories and narrative that we know of that actually deal with families. You remember the thing we put up there was having to do with the faith of families and also the failures of families in the Bible. We'll get on to that probably about lesson three or so and start having more applications to us. But a couple of things that Wayne was talking about in there that, you know, so we didn't go into deep discussion on one of them that I wanted to remind everybody, and something Mr. Walden brought up in his book, was we got to be careful about speculating a lot of things that aren't in the Bible, because there's a lot of opinions and a lot of things people say out there about evolution and how things are, trying to combine evolution and creation, a lot of stuff that gets us into trouble when we don't have the facts behind that. So that's something that we're trying to not get into in here. We may bring up some theories or some comments that people throw out there just to prove that, just the point that a lot of this is being said. But, you know, we got to let our knowledge come from the Bible and what the Bible said, and we got to accept it based on those first five words telling us everything. You know, we don't need to make God smaller than what he is to try to justify theories that man came up with, like God would need, you know, a billion years to do something when the Bible tells us that he spoke us into existence. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Don't try to make God smaller than he is to try to make other people happy with what they have come up with. And then just on the slide he brought up just a few minutes ago where he was talking about man being given two things different from animals, just as a thought in the back of your minds, you know, what do evolutionists say? They say that we came from animals, right? Matter of fact, going back to the beginning where we're talking about God and being all powerful and speaking things into existence, you have, you know, instead of them believing in the supreme being that we have knowledge of, they want to give credit to a rock or matter being eternal and all that right there. So we're not going to get into chasing all those rainbows that man comes up with because the Bible tells us. But what he brought up there was man versus animals. When you think about that right there, what separates us that animals don't have, number one, we were given dominion of rule on the earth, and we're made in the image of God, and that separates us from them. Do we have any time left? How much time do I have? That's perfect. I could have said something else, but we'll end class there today, and then Wednesday we will get into reviewing of a few things we discussed today and then getting on to the rest of chapter 1, a little more in detail about days 3 through 7, and then getting more into the garden and all that in chapter 2. Thanks for your attention.